Hi, Veronica Entwistle here. You've tuned in to Radiance by Design. Tonight we're going to talk about being a light being. I don't know how many of you listen to Paradigm Shifters, but we had a wonderful, wonderful paradigm shifter who's Dr. Lytle, and he started off being a dentist, but then he kept studying light and became, a dentist extraordinaire. He talks a lot about how light and lasers have a huge impact on, he's talked about your teeth are related to your central nervous system, and the various teeth in your body, in your mouth reflect how your brain is going to be, how your organs are, and then he carried it even farther about being healing with light, which is healing with lasers, and going on about, it all started off with us being light, and let there be light, or however the biblical quotes go. And he talked a lot about helping me really understand what it is to be a being of light. And he talked about how, the resistances in our body and so on are, you can lighten them up with the lasers, and when you lighten things up, then the flows of energy go through, and the healing is all a process of light. It was just a fascinating thing. So I thought, well, tonight on Radiance by Design, let's talk about being light being, light worker. Remember Peter Calhoun was talking about how there's about 500 million light workers on the planet at this time from many, many galaxies. The whole idea is we come in as systems busters. And I really chuckled because this laser work is how the laser and the light busts up the way we're holding old attitudes, old programs, all the way through our body minds. It's really interesting. So as a collective of humanity, we're just trying to bust up the way the light has been blocked from the greater good, from the earth, right? The earth itself has this wonderful light, but the way we've taken care of it sometimes just destroys its access to that, so the densities start to run things. And so we're light workers, and we're going to build light tonight, and we call this Radiance by Design, because the more of the light you free up in yourself, the more you radiate out there. You know that, and I know that. So we're going to start off with a meditation, and in that meditation, which is really a series of I call it the structures. Somebody questioned that term the other day again. Somebody who's familiar with the work, so she needed to have it reiterated. So I'm going to reiterate it right now. The structures are how you and I, with our mind and with our visualizations, can focus and we can create light structures. That's it, with our mind. And in those structures, you can create great, wonderful spaces where you can manifest, where you can do healing work, where you can do any number of things that you would do in a meditation. And many people can feel them, can absolutely feel them. It's very, very exciting. And when we all go in there together, guess what? You're a light being, I'm a light being, and we become a very coherent group, meaning we send out a light frequency. So we're talking about lasers earlier, just a tiny bit anyway, and all the laser does is focuses and sends light. Well, you can do that, and I can do that, but it takes quite a bit of practice. As Dr. Lytle said, he said that the interesting thing is in our world of microwaves, it's really hard just for us to bring the subtle energies through and radiate them out, but guess what? We can do it. So when we bring ourselves into the structures, and I'm going to create the structures with you, we're actually creating a place where it's quite easy to set up a radiant, subtle energy force that you and I can use to heal ourselves and to heal other people. So what do you think of that? After we do the structures, I really want you to call in and let's talk about what it's like trying to build your light up. I know a bunch of people that have pain, a lot of people that are having pain or money problems or just health in general or changes in lifetime that they can't figure out how they're working. Let's get to work and see if we can't build the light and really drive, if you will, or steer our light engine through life on this planet. And maybe it does require being a systems buster. Maybe it requires piercing a certain system of thought and feeling and reaction with a very wonderful flow of light. Maybe, maybe, maybe. So let's try out what we can do tonight. Let's do some manifestation in the light structures. Are you ready? I have a bit of a cold tonight, so you have to excuse my voice. Up above your head, about 2 miles, create a golden, golden ball. And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And drop a filament of light from the upper golden ball down through the spine and into the lower golden ball. Now from that upper golden ball, drop down a four-sided pyramid. I always feel that. Can you feel that radiance of the four-sided pyramid coming down to about waist height? And push it out so we can play inside of it. And then upside down, another golden pyramid with its point pointing into the lower golden ball. So you've got yourself an eight-sided structure, an octahedron. And inside of that, create a crystal ball. And the crystal ball touches the inside edges of your octahedron. Remember, the crystal ball is so shimmering with all these spectral hues, just beautiful. It's very feminine energy. And inside of that, let's create our star tetrahedron, a three-dimensional star of David. And it's all around you, and it's all around me. You can think of it as the Merkaba or the Merkaba. That's your light body, the body that you use, that you have around yourself, that when you activate it and become aware of it, you can shift dimension easier and easier. Now there we are inside of our star tetrahedron or our Merkaba, so I want you to spin and spin and spin. Let's spin. There we are. Spin and spin and spin. Good. Now as you spin, I want you to see in front of you a wonderful series of screens, and on these screens we're going to create little movies. The first screen is a movie about you becoming what it is you want to become. And I always say the same thing. I want to become consciously multidimensional. And see yourself becoming whatever it is you want to become. And when you get there, dust your hands together. Whoopee! Yay! And wrap it in light. Move it over to the left. Excuse me. Sorry. And now move to the second screen. And on the second screen, you're going to create a movie of something you're wanting to design and create. It can be home and family and relationship and all that. Or it can be a household. It can be a book. It can be a movie. It can be something very, very personally driven, something that you really want to do, small or big. Travel around the galaxies. I don't know. I want you to see all the resources, the time, the money coming to you as piece by piece you assemble your project. Piece by piece by piece, that's it. And see all the pieces fly at you that you need to bring together. That's it. There you go. And you're bringing them together, bringing them together. And then when you feel like you've created your project and your vision here, remember we're going to see all the resources, the time, the money, the people, the experience that we need to sustain this project. So if it's a movie, for example, you've got your whole marketplace, you've got your places to show it, it's got ongoing recognition. If it's a nonprofit that's going to change the world, same thing. See all the pieces coming together and be happy about it because you've done a great job. And now move that over to the light, cover it with light, and move it over to the side. And now we're going to do the Galactic Healing Center. And now you and I have a team of beings around us, and they're infinite in numbers, you know. And the more you call forth a specific subject and so on, the more of these beings you get with specialties. So as we go into the Galactic Healing Center, call in your specialties, your healing beings, around a beautiful table, a healing table. That's right. And then they come in willingly, don't they? And then I want you to lie on the table. You're the first person to come in. Lie on the table. And then they'll tell you, ask them what it is you want to have done so that you can have some healing. That's it. Or else they'll tell you what you need to do. I like a combination of the two things. Yeah. All right, now we're going to see them working on us. And you can feel them working on us. Take a look at your team. Who are they? Do you see anything at all? Do you perceive anything? And now they're working on you, so what is it they teach you about what it is you need to grow through? That's it. I love that feeling of the energy, the subtle energy coming through. And you can feel a healing go on. And now wrap that in light and move it over to the side. And then we're going to have a fresh table. And our team replicates themselves. If you want, you can bring in another kind of a specialty. Now I'm bringing in a person who has Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS. She's already lost her voice. She cannot speak at all. She can barely eat. And it's going fairly quickly, although I know there's been a lot of research on it. So we're bringing her in. And she's just turned 70. That's right. And they're working on her. And it's interesting. We're asking for even higher and higher beings so that her ancestral beings, the beings that are especially assigned to her and beings that are especially assigned to us and Radiance by Design and so on, there's rings and rings and rings of them, and they're working on her cellularly. They're working on her brain. Really powerful, actually. Yeah. I don't think she's suffering very much, except that you do suffer when you can't speak and you're locked in your body, eh? Mm-hmm. A little bit more. And they're actually showing a lot of light in her brain, right in the pineal gland. She's maybe getting big perceptions. Let's do a little more of that. Good. Let's wrap that in light, move it over to the side. And now let's bring in a fresh table and a fresh... our healing team replicates themselves, and let's have them resolve or resort themselves. Good. And now we're going to see a young woman who's kind of, she's really, really difficult for people to handle it. She's got lots and lots of obsessions. She's terribly brilliant, but she's got a lot of obsessions. And even though she's getting a university degree and she's getting married soon, she's really difficult to be with because her sensitivities are such that she can take little or nothing. She makes things up. It's hard to explain, but she's just so incredibly sensitive, and she distorts a whole lot of things that are coming her way. And her parents have worked on her so hard, and they haven't really... They've taken her to all kinds of practitioners. They haven't really found any access to her. So we're bringing her in, and I'm asking the team to take a look at her. Now she has, there it is, she has a lot, she's got a lot going on in her brain. Like there's a little, I don't know what it is, but there's like a knot in the middle of the brain, and there's a lot going on in the intestinal tract. Oh my goodness, it's just really intricately tied back or something. It's hard to... Anyway, that what they're doing is infusing her belly, the base of her spine, her spinal cord, and the belly, infusing it with light. Again, the base of her spine, the spinal cord, and the belly, and infusing it with light and having the light run up the spine and in charge the brain. Excellent. That's it. I don't have access to her tonight, but I'd sure like to know if she can feel the difference inside her body mind. When the light runs up, it's like there were knots in both the belly and the brain. And I wonder if the, as if we have a laser that can undo or unravel some of the knots that have been placed in there. And I would say that the ones, there are several that I would say are really old, other lives, karmic, whatever you want to call it, oof, has made it just about impossible for her in this lifetime. That's right. Good. And now I'm asking if there's any other advice for her. All right. And the advice is basically that she would help herself a lot by doing deep breathing exercises, some of which she's doing, but yoga and breathing is going to help her. And she will ease up by the time she's about 40, apparently. Wrap that in light, move it over to the side. Now we're going to have somebody come in who's got, and let's have the team replicate themselves. This guy needs to have, this is a man who's older, and he has, what is it called, spondylosis, where they have all these little bone spurs between all the vertebrae, and he can barely stand up straight. And he's in pain all the time. It's an incredible journey that he's on. And he's a very, very smart man. And he's having a little trouble trying to be positive about himself. He's feeling more and more discouraged. So let's see if we can't melt some of those. Ask the team if they will melt some of those bone spurs. There you go. There we are. And what they're doing is, you know what's interesting, because I'm asking, you know, what is it we can talk to him about? And they're saying when he holds his, when he holds the attitude of despair, it distorts his spine, you see, so that the attitude of despair is also creating problems for him. So they're saying to, for him to see if he can see the attitude of his despair and really change that and really infuse his brain and his belly again with a much more, he may not be happy, but at least a tolerant attitude. Because you know how you walk when you're down in the dumps or when you have despair? Your shoulders go down, don't they? So we're saying to this fellow, that's something they could do. But I think we've helped him a certain amount anyway. I think he's got less pressure and less pain. Okay. Now we're going to wrap him in light and send it over to the side. It occurs to me that Lynn McTaggart, who did the intention experiment and the field and the bond, and is a wonderful researcher and having tested out a lot of these metaphysical or healing efforts around the world and sent them through labs and had them be estimated. Anyway, she started a thing called the intentional experiment. And there was a fellow who finally came, people were signing up from all over the world, and then everybody would focus on somebody to see if the healing would happen for that person. And I think their results were really tremendous. Anyway, there was a fellow who came on right near the beginning of the intention experiment, and he said that his doctors had all given up on him. He could not walk. He could not stand up straight at all. I guess he could walk, but he couldn't stand up straight. And within 2 weeks of having all these people create intentions for him, he was walking without pain and standing up straight. So that just goes to show you, ladies and gentlemen, the healing that we're doing with people in our structures tonight can have a terrific impact. And when we have a coherent field, which is a whole bunch of people sharing intentions, oh gee whiz, I wonder what we can do. We should run for office, all of us together. Wrap that in light, move it over to the side. Excuse me. And now we're going to do our political healing table. And I'm not really sure which thing to do, because the Ukraine, that's it, eh? Ukraine? All right. Let's put that, pardon? And Syria, okay. Let's put Ukraine and Syria up on our table. Now, a lot of these places have such huge divisions, even in their own country, especially Syria. But anyway, let's put them up there and see. There's a lot of bloodshed going on. I don't want to get into all the details, but let's see if we can bring forward, get our healing team and bring our ancestors of the healing team and the ancestors' healing teams and then more healing teams and reams of healing teams around these two countries and others. It can be others as well, but these are the two countries we're focusing on right now. And asking for help and for guidance. And let's bring in, consciously bring in from way out there, the amazing frequencies that are being downloaded onto the planet right now. There they go. There we go. You can just feel them, can't you? And have them come through. Good. And now send them up through the feet of anyone that you can imagine that's in power or has anything to do with calming and quelling the hatred and the dominance and the subversive rulership that's going on in these places and the killing. Anybody who's in any kind of power, let's send these healing vibrations, the consciousness vibrations that you can pull in from way out there up to the soles of the feet of these beings and have the consciousness frequencies penetrate their existence, penetrate their hearts, penetrate their bellies, the subconscious, the karma, penetrate their brain. Yeah. And just see if we can't just absolutely flood these places with the lights of possibility. Yeah. It's really something, isn't it? I can feel it. Can you feel a certain kind of peace coming through? Yeah. And now let's wrap all that in light, move it over to the side, and let it keep perking and perking, and just send them all love. And now, one more time, let's call in the frequencies that are being downloaded way out there, as the Bhagavan says. It's God consciousness coming from the way the galaxies are intermingling at this point. So whatever you believe, I do know, and you know too, that there's some amazing frequencies becoming available. Some of them are disruptive, but a lot of it is very dynamic. But we can call them in. Don't just wait for them to knock on your door. You knock on theirs. Have them come in through the top of your head, whirl around your head, whirl, 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 whirl. Neck, shoulders, down into your heart and spin round and round in the heart. Move back up through the shoulders, down the arms, the hands. Excellent. And now, as your hands are tingling like mad, I want you to pat those frequencies all over the world. All over the world. Wherever there's pain, there's bloodshed, there's suffering, there's drug wars, there's greed and keeping people out of wealth. You know, if I've got it, you don't, that whole thing. Let's just blast all that with love, with kindness, with God consciousness. Where people are, where the scourges of the land are really hurting the planet, you know. And over to Fukushima, of course. Yeah. And then have your light move round and round and round your planet, round and round and round your planet. I wonder what the ETs are doing. I guess we have to wait for the next show for that. Round and round and round the planet and up through your hands, up your arms, spin through the shoulders, down to the heart, wing round and round and back up through the neck, straight out into the great central sun, back down, run through your head, down your spine, down your feet, into the core of the earth, and then have it pop up again and just flood you. And turn around and close off the Galactic Healing Center, a wonderful place for operations of consciousness. And now jump into the star tetrahedron. And I want you to spin and spin and spin and spin. And as we spin and spin and spin in the star tetrahedron, I want you to meet me here. Call in. Call in and ask me all about your life or tell me all about your life. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. Hi, I'm Veronica Entwistle. Let's talk about being in the light. Isn't it a challenge for a lot of people these days? Because so many of you believe in being in the light, and yet things are kind of awry. Things are changing really fast. It's hard to know how to count on anything going a certain way. What are you finding out about yourself when a lot of your supposed plans get disrupted? How do we cope with that on the planet right now? How do we cope with it? I think what we do, we drop inside, right? And look for that. Sometimes it's like a, what do they call it, those levels that you're working with when you're doing carpentry work. It's got this little bubble inside. Years and years ago, I used to sit down and try to make sure that I had that little bubble and it was level with the earth. It's kind of like that, isn't it? Sort of getting yourself in that really calm place and finding divinity in every moment, even though it looks like what I like to call a dog's breakfast, right? and your plans just don't seem to be working. How do you cope with it? How do you stay in the light? Maybe we don't. Maybe sometimes descending into the dark or being frustrated and going into the dark is a great way to go to the light. You know what I mean? You go down, you go in there, and then the next thing you know, you pop back up. And there you are in the light again. And what have we learned as we went through the disruption? We learned to choose. We learned to be intentional. We learned to release, release, release. We learned to love and love ourselves. We learned the value of the oneness of all, because you find out when you go through those things that, you know, you're one with other people who are going through a lot of stuff. Okay, let's just take a look here. I've got somebody in front of me. Okay. Now, here's something really interesting. There's somebody in front of me who's got some really painful hips. The pelvic area is really hurting. It seems like it's up over the pelvic bones, you know, and it's just excruciating. But I want to say this about that person, that there's a, and how many of you have got this? There's a number of you, right? I want to say that there's a feeling this person holds. It's interesting. It's going to make me burp, which is really weird. There's a feeling that this person is holding, which is, if you look at the hips, you can feel it right in the eyes, that the person is holding kind of an anxiety about how they're seen in the world, how they're seen in their own lives. And the way their hips are holding, it's like their hips are holding that whole thing of not quite recognizing the self and trying to compensate for who the self is over and over. And you know that the hips contain the belly area, which is the second chakra. It's everybody else's influence. We're standing in the back of our own womb saying, who am I in the middle of all this karmic stuff? And also, we did an interview today where we were listening to somebody talking about how, you know this, and I know this, and how the neurotransmissions, or 90% of them, are created right there in the intestinal tract. So let's go back to my chosen character today, and I'm saying she has really painful pelvic bones and her eyes. You know, there's a connection there. Everything is connected. And it's showing me that she has a real question about how to compensate for her inadequacies, and it's literally throwing her hips out of whack and out of potential. Isn't that interesting? Now, I want all of you, for a little exercise, to go into your hips, your pelvic bones, to the best of your ability. See if you can feel your pelvic bones and get right to the back of them. And then say something inside of yourself like, I am who I am. I'm just fine. I'm just right about the person I am. Yeah. Some of you can do it, but a lot of you are finding that when you do that, there's a question in there. So you have some little hollow places in your pelvic area. Isn't it interesting? I've been doing all these interviews lately and talking with healers like the like Dr. Lytle and his light. I didn't even think about how that name is really about what he does. Or Jim Emke, who's a tremendous nutritionist, and just learning how it doesn't matter which part, and we used to say this years ago, it doesn't matter which part of the body you read, whether it's your iris or your toenails or your fingerprints or your posture or whatever, you come up with the same information about the person. We have maps all through us. So it's a really, really fascinating study to see how, for example, in the hips that we were just talking about, which hold the karmic information in us, how we choose to see ourselves is really recorded there, and it shows up in your body, in your body posture. Isn't that amazing? Now call in so I don't have to talk the whole time. Sometimes I could be bored, but maybe I'll talk about you. Are you ready? There's somebody here. I just burst out laughing. There's a man here. I think I know who you are, actually. And your ability to love, you know, I want each person out there to say to yourself, I really love. I feel love. I feel love. Because this person that I want to talk to, specifically the guy I picked out of the crowd, has got a really, really hard time letting himself feel love. Because we talked about the hips and about questioning who you are and how you evaluate yourself. Well, this person has this whole thing where his heart kind of goes in. It's like energetically, you're a light worker, I'm a light worker, you're a light being, and your light in your heart, in your chest area, gets concave. It goes way in because you're afraid that you don't really know how to love properly. Isn't that interesting? I wonder how many of us have that. Let me just take a quick look around the group. Yeah, a lot of you have. I don't see anybody just absolutely radiating love unquestioningly at this point. I know you're all really loving, but there's a big question in the heart chakra asking yourself if you're loving well enough, if you deserve to love, if your conditions on love are right. You know, we all want to be unconditional, don't we? And yet I'm looking and I'm seeing these funny little gaps in the way people are doing that. So let's go back to my fellow that I'm picking on here. He's a young man. He's handsome. He's maybe not that young. He's in his 50s. He might even be 60 by now. But in any case, he looks very, what is it I want to say, unsure about his lovability, and that's the thing. And you and I know it's a really important exercise for us to do here. Drop inside yourself. I want you to drop inside yourself like a little imp and sit in your heart chakra. And go, I am always, always loved. I am always, always loved. Yeah, that's opening it up a little bit. And let's take that big golden light or the golden and green light or however it comes up in you and swish it through the heart chakra. Because you don't have to do anything to be loved. It's love that kind of holds the universe together, right? Excellent. Now, my friend, you built up your heart chakra as we talked. You did. You're loved and you're lovable and you're loving no matter what you think in your mind. You are love. So let's talk about someone else. Who else are we going to? Are you going to call in or not? Or am I going to just keep chattering away here? Incidentally, I have a really, talking about love, there's a little girl whose name is Vivian Haar, and she is going to be on my show in a couple of weeks. But what she's done is when she heard about child slavery in different parts of the world, she was only 7 years old, and what she decided to do was to set up a lemonade stand. And she was setting out to save $100,000 with her lemonade stand. And guess what? She did it. That was 3 years ago. And when she got to $100,000, her parents said, okay, you made it. And she said, well, as long as there's slavery, I'm not stopping. So now she's doing a world travel. She's doing a little book and a movie, and I'm sure her folks are helping her a great deal, and she probably has others helping her. But I think it's called Stand By Me, Lemonade Stand, Stand By Me. And so you're going to hear more about Vivian. I think it's Harr, H-A-R-R. You're going to hear a lot more about her over the next while, because she is making a difference. She's only 10 now. Think about it, you guys. How many of us are making a difference like that? Anyway, we're going to have her on Paradigm Shifters in a couple of weeks, so tune in for that. It's going to be really fun. Okay, let's see what else we're going to do. To be a light worker and to actually know that you're a light worker, or to know, how can I put this? If you can know that your light and your vibrational vehicle of light, then it's easier for you to remind yourself to actually build that light when you're in the process of going into the world to do things that make a difference. So let's take a look at who else there is here. All right. Now, there's a number of you out there who, it's really interesting, you're clutching your throat, or your throat is really, really tight. So I'm saying you're really a light worker, but there's a part of you that's really afraid of expressing. So it looks like you have a low thyroid. I'm so glad you're on the air, because I'm tired of hearing my own voice. Let's hear yours.
Hi, Veronica.
Hi. Who have I got?
Hi. My name's Nicola.
Hi, Nicola. I'm so glad you called in. How are you tonight?
Oh, definitely. I'm doing well, thank you.
I don't think it's your throat I was talking about.
You don't think it's my throat?
No. So go ahead and tell me what you were talking about, because I was just saying somebody's got their throat really tight, and I go, I don't think that's you, Nicola.
Oh, well, maybe it is. I can put on a good voice.
Well, just get going then.
Okay. Well, I've got this issue with a fibroid that's on my uterus. Size.
Oh, wow,
orange.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And it's made me infertile. And it was misdiagnosed for years. They said I had a tipped uterus, but it turned out I just had this huge fibroid that was pulling my uterus back. And anyway, so I was just wondering, I mean, apparently fibroids are like every one in five women have them.
Mm-hmm.
And as we age, you know, they become more prevalent, but it sometimes bleeds through, and, you know, it's just...
Can I ask you what your age is?
Yeah.
Are you worried about children?
You know, well, that was on the table for a while. But I'm young for my age, but I'm 47, and so I'm heading into menopause. And but still, you know, I have fantasies about it, but it's probably not supposed to be.
Well, here's what it looks like to me: is that there is what do the doctors say? Because it looks like there is a way. It's funny that this fibroid seems to close off the channels in the uterus. Some people don't. Some, you know, they're in different places, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're just trying to see if there's anything that can be done. We're just going to radiate light on it and see if we can do anything. Because you know what I believe? I never quite know when it's going to work, but I really believe that if we all turn our attention to it and we focus on it and we focus energy on it, it can make a big difference. I'll bet you do too, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. I think so. I mean, I've definitely raised by a scientist and have come from a very strong science background, and I think there's a lot to intention and energy, and just our minds do create everything that our whole of existence is created by just what we have thought, what people have thought in the past, and created.
Isn't it fascinating? Isn't it fascinating,
it is.
Nicola? Yeah.
Well,
so I want to ask you this. So what do you think your fibroid's telling you about your thoughts and so on? That's not a trick question. It's a playful question.
Right. No. Right. I think it definitely is about being in my body more instead of in my head, kind of bringing down my awareness a little bit instead of just being in my head all the time, trying to bring down my intentions or my mindfulness to bring it down a bit instead of being, you know, just carried away with worry about money or whatever.
Have you ever tried to just sit and melt it with your mind?
I have, but not consistently.
You know, it's really fun. Let me see here. Is it painful, Nicola?
You know, it's gone through different stages, but it's not. It's not painful. But I know some women have terrible times with them where it really is. But mine's not. It's just huge. But they can be bigger. They can be the size of grapefruit. Mine's just an orange. So anything in the citrus family, I guess, is the doctor, you know.
What would happen if you ate lots of vitamin C?
I don't know.
But it's funny because have you done acupuncture and that sort of thing?
No, I haven't. No, I haven't tried that.
I would, because you know what? There's something funny about yours, which is that it seems to have just a little section of it that closes off the function of your uterus. And they're not always in the same place. I'm repeating myself, I realize. But I'm going, you know, I wonder if we could intend to unhook at least part of it. But I'm not sure. I think that acupuncture would help to really assure that that energy gets through there. Now, when I do this, do your feet feel funny?
My feet always feel funny. Like in high heels and walking around, of course my feet feel funny. No, here, let me sit down. Let me see.
But it just feels like when we do a little, I'm doing a little work on your uterus right now on global radio. Mm-hmm. How gross is that? No, I'm teasing you. But it's funny because there's a real tie between your uterus and the way the energy runs through your legs. You know that. I don't know why. I'm not using my intellect here. I'm just doing energy. I'm like, why is that? It's really... And, you know, you might even try, along with acupuncture, try some reflexology stuff, because there's something about the way the energy runs through your legs that has to do with this situation. But I feel like you can get rid of this, and part of it is your dharma. You are a little healer girl. Do you know that?
Yeah, I've been accused of that. I think it's a wonderful field, and I definitely haven't done well. I'm a realtor, and that's not really my calling.
What's really funny, Nicola? Through the years, you know, I'm 100 years old now, but through the years, some of my friends have been in metaphysics. A lot of them have been realtors.
There's a lot of really wonderful people in this industry. Great women and lots of,
And really I think a lot of you want to have the space in your life to go off and explore other things besides selling houses. So it gives you a little more flexibility, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But I think you're going to be able to dismiss this little fibroid after she's had some recognition for what she's done for you. She's done something, and I think the kind of healer you're going to be is going to come from your experiences with this fibroid.
Thank you for that. That's lovely.
All right. Well, I really enjoyed talking to you, and thank you. I wish we could say we just cured it, but I know we helped something in there.
I think you did. I appreciate your energy and taking time with me.
Many blessings. Thanks for calling in. I was getting tired of my own voice.
We love your voice. Keep going.
Thank you, darling. Thank you. Now, so that was really interesting because there's no, you know, we were talking about the hips, we were talking about the heart chakra, and now we're talking about the fibroid. We're going, wow, isn't it interesting how your body speaks holographically, holistically? And how there's nothing, like if you're having an emotional issue about going somewhere, you could have leg problems, right? So somewhere in the middle of Nicola's situation, there's something about the leg and the feminine, and we won't go too far into that. I'll pick on someone else right now, unless you're ready to call in. Where are you, you people that are going to call in? I'm looking forward to hearing from you. So otherwise, we're going to take a look at this person who's got... I think it's a, I want to say it's a neck problem, and I'm thinking that it's not actually a neck problem. It's just below the neck, the way he holds his shoulders, and that's created a sway in the neck. And remember, the neck is consciousness itself, and the thyroid is in the neck, which is where you wring out the wisdom from all of your life's experiences, right? And then you express it, right? So the thyroid is right there in the throat chakra. And I'm seeing this person going, huh, you've got a funny little pain at the end of your neck as it goes into your shoulders, and there's a little soft, it's not really a hump, but there's a little roundness there where most people don't have a roundness. It's kind of flatter for a lot of people. And I want to say you're holding, and I want you to take a look at your own shoulders. Everybody around the world is listening to this show. Take a look at your shoulders and just at the base of your neck and see if you have a little rounded part. And if you do have a little rounded part there, what does that mean? What does that mean to you? Huh? There you are. And then if I see it very carefully, I'm looking inside of it, or I'm getting inside of it as if I'm a little imp, because a lot of times with subtle energy work, you want to put yourself inside of different parts and see if you can really pick up more information on what it's trying to tell you. But I would say that this person's upper shoulders is taking a kind of a responsibility about holding, I think it's holding himself, holding himself back in order to be, I would say, safe. Think about this, and you tell me, phone in and tell me what you're picking up in your own neck. Because like at the base of the neck, just going down to the shoulders, and it seems like this person's holding a feeling of wanting to be kind of safe, wanting to be polite, maybe wanting to be more delicate or elegant than he is normally or something, but it's kind of an odd combination of things. Sometimes when you see a really kind of a rough, tough guy, you'll see some really interesting evidences of delicacy that he maybe isn't featuring because he's trying to be rough and tough. And this is a little bit of that kind of situation. So let me know what's going on with you. Now, for a lot of us, take a look at your hands. And for a lot of us, we learn from, you know, when you get to know people, you start to meet strangers and so on, there's a lot of clues about what we're really like, hey? And when I look at people's hands, I think I pick up more information. You know intuitively, immediately, whether a person is flexible, whether a person is controlling, whether a person is honest. You can tell that. Oftentimes by the length of the fingernails. I don't mean if their fingernails are long and pointed, or what's the fashion these days, squared off or something. I don't mean that kind of done fingernail. I mean just the actual construction of the hands, whether people are philosophical or whether people are strict and dominant, whether it's really interesting. So take a look at your hands for a minute and see if you can tell what kind of things your hands tell about you. Yeah, and if you pull on your fingers, will they move back very easily? Some people move way back and practically lie onto the back of their hand, and that tells that maybe you're a little bit of a pushover. You see, you use some sort of cliched term like that, and it's really evidential of what you're really like, hey? And maybe you're very resistant and your hands don't bend back at all. It's interesting. You can learn a lot about yourself, and you can learn a lot about other people. It's not about judging. It's about learning how we interact with one another in life. And also, then, you can take that into your own personal health and maybe release something that is a little bit overdone. Maybe the resistance is too much, or maybe the rigidity is too much, or maybe you're too soft. You can figure that out and sort it out as well. So this is Veronica Entwistle, and I want to say next week I'm not going to be on. I'm not sure who's going to be. I'm thinking of maybe having a guest host come on, but let me do some casting about, and if you've got ideas, let me know. I'm going to be going to Costa Rica, and next Thursday I'm going to be flying through the air on my way south, where it's going to be warm and friendly and all of that. So I won't be able to come on. So I don't know who's going to replace me next week, but we'll see. And other than that, I'll run a Paradigm Shifters show. Got some great ones coming up. We're doing Joe Vitale soon, and we're doing Vivian Haar, who I mentioned to you, is the 10-year-old entrepreneur who's saving the world against, or she's fighting back on childhood slavery. And Jim Emka, who's just a nutritional guru. And Dr. Lytle and his laser stuff. Oh, my goodness, we have a lot of characters coming up these days. So once again, this is Veronica Entwistle. If you want a session with me and my guides and angels, and if you would like to suggest guests for Paradigm Shifting, go on to my website, veronicaentwistle.com, hit the Ask Veronica button, and let me know what you're thinking about. Thank you so much for listening to Radiance by Design. Thank you so much, and I say many blessings and good night to all of you.